Title of this message, there are good people and bad people in the church. There are good people and bad people in the church. In fact, there's good people and there's bad people. If I say a name like this, Abraham, we think father of faith. If I say a name like Mother Teresa, we think helping hundreds and thousands of people in India. If I say the name Martin Luther King Jr., we think of civil rights and a preacher of righteousness. Some good people. If I say the name Chet Lowe, some good people. If I say the name Jezebel, have you ever noticed at every church there's not one little Jezzy in the nursery? There's not one. Not one little Jezebel. Not at all. Have you noticed that in the nursery there's no Attilas as the Hun? I mean, there's just some bad people. You know, I had a girl in middle school, and I can't tell you her name, but I would never name my child this particular name. And when I got married and Andre got pregnant with our first little boy, we named him Micaiah. And then the second one, she wanted to name the girl this name of the girl that was in my school that I couldn't stand. I mean, every time I heard the name, I was like, and she goes, well, how about this name? I almost threw up in my mouth. I couldn't believe it, that out of her would come that particular name. If I say the name Hitler, there's good people and there's bad people. I wonder, what does your name mean? What does your name mean? When someone says your name, what do they think? Do they think a good person? Do they think a bad person? Well, let me tell you what they think based on the decisions that you've made in life, because really having a good name or having a bad name is a matter of making good choices or making bad choices. Well, the beauty of God's word is that he shows us how to make good choices. So John, what he's doing here, he's writing a man that he led to the Lord. And this particular man, his name is Gaius, he is making a series of wise and good choices. Let's take a look. It's 3 John chapter 1, excuse me, not even chapter, but 3 John 1, the elder. Now remember, we talked about this last week. John's the only apostle left. So he recalls himself and goes, the elder, I'm it. There's no one left. Everyone has gone to be with Jesus and he left me here with you people. I am the elder. And he says to him, to my beloved Gaius, typical of John and how he writes to his little children, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John's pretty happy. He's pretty happy because his son in the Lord, Gaius, is walking in the truth. Well, what kind of good choices was he making? Well, there's two that I see. The first one is this: he was walking in truth. This guy had an incredible testimony because he was constantly making good choices. He was a good guy. And when you would talk about him, you go, oh yeah. Someone would say Gaius, and they would go, oh yeah, Gaius. He's such a great guy. And I wonder when they say your name. Now, if your name's Sally, I'm sorry. But just imagine if they go, oh, I was with Sally the other day. And they go, oh, good night. Sally? Oh my goodness, can you imagine? Or imagine if your name is John, and sorry if your name is John, and someone goes, yeah, I was hanging out with John last night, and they go, you were with John? Oh, be careful. He turns on you in a heartbeat. And I don't know what your name means, but to John the apostle, Gaius' name meant something because he was walking in truth. He was a good guy. Gase was the guy that is in high school and his friend is struggling with a school project and he's got to do his own. But instead of finishing his own, he decides, you know what? I'm going to help you with your project because I can get mine done, but I can see that you need a little bit of help. So I'm going to help you with your school project. He was just a good guy. And when he would see dirt on the floor or trash on the ground, he would pick it up and he would throw it away. You see, Gaius was just a good guy. And maybe he was the guy at work. One guy at work, and he's lacking, and he's got a little bit of slack that's going on. And Gaius is the kind of guy that didn't murmur and complain about the guy that is slacking at work. He's the guy that would help the guy so that he would be able to catch up at work. This is Gaius. He's just a good guy. And I wonder, what kind of guy, what kind of gal are you? Because let me tell you something. Good guys make other people feel really great. And John says something here that blows my mind. He says this, I want you to see, I have no greater joy, verse 4, than to hear my children walk in truth. Got no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is his spiritual father speaking. He's saying, Gaius, I'm really proud of you, man. I led you to the Lord. I discipled you. I spoke the word into your heart and into your life. And I want to let you know, you bring me a lot of joy. Hey, kids, listen. I want you to let you know something. The opposite is true. There's no greater sorrow than when your children don't walk in truth. And as a parent of 9 kids, there's no greater sorrow than when you make bad choices. And I want you to listen carefully because there's something about our faith that we need to consider. You see, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that our faith, we need to consider others better than ourselves. But our rebellion? No, let me tell you what our rebellion does against that particular truth. Our rebellion doesn't care about others. Our rebellion doesn't matter if we hurt others. Our rebellion doesn't matter if we are cause sorrow in someone else, because the root of that is selfishness. I want it my way. I'll never forget. I did a gravesite for a gentleman who did not know the Lord. And to his deathbed, he said, I am the captain of my own soul, no matter what. And at his funeral, he sang the Neil Diamond song, I Did It My Way. Imagine hearing that song in hell at your gravesite funeral. You see, selfishness is the root of this. And we've got to determine, do we want to bring joy to our authority? Do we want to bring joy to our boss? Do we want to bring joy to our teachers? Do we want to bring joy to our pastors? Do we want to bring joy to our elders, to the people that are in authority of us, like our parents? Have we made a decision that our faith, we're going to consider them better than ourselves and bring joy to them? You see, the reason why I'm telling you this is because I've got a passion as a parent, but I really have a passion for you. The Word of God says that if you honor your father and your mother, if you honor your authority, it's gonna go well with you. And maybe there's a moment where you stop for just a second and evaluate, why aren't things going right for me? And maybe I stop for a moment and evaluate, am I respectful? Am I honoring to the authority that is above me? You see, the passion that I have is for it to go well with you. But that was not all that Gaius was known for. Not just walking in truth. No, Gaius was known for walking by faith. Look at verse 5. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers of the truth. You see, the second thing that Gaius was known for, not only walking by truth, but he was also walking by faith. And Gaius's faith had an action about it. You see, as strangers would come into town, no hotels, no Hiltons, no Ramadas, and as strangers would come into the town, and they had a letter from the people of Jerusalem. It was like a certificate of ordination. What Gaius would do is he would bring them into the home and say, hey, you can stay with me. I would love for you to stay with me. And he would feed them, and he would take care of them, because in the first church, hospitality was a big deal. Because Jesus told a parable of a good Samaritan, a parable of a man who shouldn't have done what he did, but he chose to bandage the wounds, be hospitable, and take him to an inn, pay for all of his expenditures, and something about that story affected the first church. Where my home was not my castle, my home is your castle. There's something about the first church where hospitality to the Apostle John was a big deal. And the way that we handle our home, is it a place that you go to get away, or is it a place that you go to minister to others? Because there's no place, there's nothing like ministry that happens in my living room. I love it. I love the opportunity to sit down with someone on a couch. It was just the other day. I had a day, I got up at, this past Saturday, I was up at 4 a.m, drove all the way down. I've got a new surfing life group that I do down in Sano. And we were down, San Onofre, and we were down there. And we met at 6. We were there before the gate opened. We went and we parked, had our little surfing life group of prayer and Bible study, a little bit of surf. And then I came back up here, had a long meeting all day, then a dinner that went through the night. And I got home, and there's 15 people at my house. And I just sat down, and I put my hand on the back of one of them. I don't even know what I said, but something about it just was like, I like this. Hospitality is a big deal. And it should be to us. But he wasn't only hospitable. Gaius was benevolent. He sent them on their journey. Right there you see in verse 6, he sent them on a journey in a manner worthy of God. He was paying for their trip. He was benevolent. He was taking of the resources that God gave him, and he was giving it to others. And I've got a question for us. Do we get to give, or do we get to get? Am I working so I can save for my vacation, or am I working so I can give to God? Am I putting away money in my retirement so that I can go on the mission field when I retire, or am I putting money away in my retirement so that I might be able to live the high life when all my children are gone and I'm no longer paying college fees? Listen. Are we getting our funds in order to give them? I know you guys are young, but are you choosing to tithe what God has gifted you with? The job that you're at, and maybe you're wondering, why don't I have any more money? Is it quite possible that you're not a giver and God can't entrust you with more money? See, the truth of Scripture that is about this particular man and the reason why he was a good guy is because he was benevolent. He was hospitable. He was showing his faith in action. This is a great guy. This is an incredible guy. And let me tell you one of the reasons he's such an incredible guy. He hung out with incredible people. The people that he was bringing into his home, these people were radical people. Would you look with me at verse 7? Let me tell you about the people he's hanging out with. And we've got to choose our friends wisely, because bad company will corrupt good morals. And the kind of people that he was hanging out with, look at the first in verse 7. Because they went forth for his name's sake. The people that he hung out with, they were busy about outreach. No matter what it cost them, they were going to talk about Jesus. They were going to live Jesus. They were going to communicate Jesus. They left their lives for Jesus. Now evaluate your friends. You got Jesus people kind of friends? You got Jesus people kind of friends where Jesus is everything? Goes on to say there in verse 7, not only were they Jesus people, they took nothing from the Gentiles. The people that they were ministering to, these guys, they were sacrificial givers. They gave of their time, They gave of their talents. They gave of their treasure. They were giving everything for the sake of the ministry. They weren't taking anything from them. This is why John wrote Gaius and said, look, you've got the money. Why don't you send them on their journey? These are the kind of people that Gaius is hanging around with. But not only that, look at continue in verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. John knew something. You hang around with people like this, you are going to become like them. You're going to become a fellow worker of truth. Because when you hang around people like that, they're going to challenge you and they're going to cause your faith to grow. Now, you got a question to ask yourself. Do your friends cause your faith to grow? Is the fruit of your relationships good fruit? Or is the fruit of your relationships constant agony, constant misery, constant backbiting, constant, well, maybe you need to change your friends. Because the Bible says if the tree produces bad fruit, cut the tree down. Because a bad tree can't produce good fruit. And a good tree can't produce bad fruit. It's Matthew's gospel chapter 7. Maybe you need to cut it down. And let me be honest with you guys. It's why I like hanging out with missionaries. You ever heard missionary stories? Hanging out with missionaries is great. When you hang out with a missionary, someone who's risking their life for the gospel, I'm 11 years old, and I will never forget. A Chinese couple, an Asian couple, were right in front of me, and they were smuggling Bibles into China. And I'm 11 years old, and I'm watching and listening to the story of this older couple who spoke nothing but broken English tell me the story of how they were smuggling Bibles into China. Well, let me tell you, 2 years later, I'm 13 years old, and I am smuggling Bibles into China because this couple inspired me to change. Who are you hanging out with? No, for real. Who are the people that you're hanging out with? No wonder John prays for Gaius. Look back at verse 2. He says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. No wonder he prayed that prayer. He's faithful. Gaius has been faithful with what God has given him. He's chosen to take in his resources. He's chosen to take his talent, hospitality. He's chosen to take his time, and he's chosen to give it to God. So John is praying to God that God would give him more money, give him more time, give him more talent, give him more treasure, because Gaius was faithful. There's a story that Jesus told about five talents. Gave a certain particular man five talents, and the guy went out and said, oh, I'm going to make five more. And Jesus said of that man, wow, give him even more. But there was another guy, he had one talent. He goes, you know what, I'm going to go hide it. He goes and he hides it, and he gives it back to his master, and the master says, take that talent away from him and take everything away from him because he wasn't faithful with what I gave him. Are you faithful with the things that God has given you? Because he wants to give you more as you prove your faithfulness. Now, what I need to let you know is this is not a faith movement verse. This is not a verse where we start praying, God, I want health and I want prosperity. Give me the money in Jesus' name. I'll never forget at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, I had just hired a new person. So I had them come into my staff meeting. It's about 40 people. I had them come into my staff meeting, but I prepped all of my other staff. And I said, listen, we're going to pray. And what we're going to pray is whatever you want, just ask Jesus for it. And Jesus will give it to you. If you want money, if you want a house, if you want a car. So they come into the meeting and everyone's prepped for this particular meeting. So I go, okay, why don't we pray? And so this person is standing right here. And I said, I want a car. And another person goes, I want a Mercedes. And another person goes, I want a 5-bedroom house. Jesus, give it to me. And so I said, you know what? That's what we need to pray. Right now, everyone pray and chant, Jesus, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. Now let's pray. I want it. I want it. She got up from her chair and began to walk out. And I stopped the prayer and I said to her, you pass. Jesus is not our cosmic piggy bank. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man didn't even have a place to lie down his head. Jesus didn't have a Tempur-Pedic. He had a tree. He rolled up a nice little rock and he laid down. He says, "This is it, guys. This is where we sleep tonight." This is not a prosperity movement verse. He's praying that God would give him more because he's faithful with what's been given to him. This is good choices. But we got another guy. Would you look at verse 9? Because he makes some bad choices. He says here in verse 9, "I wrote to the church," but Diotrephes, kind of sounds like Catastrophes, "who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds," which he does, "prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself doesn't receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church." Mr. Catastrophes here is a huge catastrophe. This guy is making a series of bad decisions. Now, I need to let you know about this guy. This guy is in the church. We got a bad guy in the church. Anybody ever met a bad guy in the church? Yeah, anyone? Only a few hands? You've only met a couple of bad guys? Let me tell you something. If you're listening on the radio and someone has called themselves a Christian, or you're sitting here and we have embarrassed our faith, let me publicly say, I'm sorry. Because there are some rotten eggs in the church. They kind of walk in like this. And someone comes walking up to them, "God bless you. God bless you." And they go, "I've been a Christian for 50 years. Don't God bless me. I've been God blessed before." You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, the person that's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And all you get is like the stiff, right? I went out to a restaurant the other day. I met a guy. And when I met him, I went to go give him a hug. And he gave me like the stiff hand. It was like, boom, like, wow, dude. Just hug me, like brotherly love kind of deal. Let me explain. Catastrophes here? Diotrephes? He made a series of some bad choices. And the worst thing about it, he's an authority in the church. He's probably the leader of the church. He was able to put people out of the church. John is letting us know he's probably one of the leaders. And I need to explain to you, there are problem people in the church. And these problem people, it usually comes from three things that we see Diotrephes explaining to us. Because there were three things that he wanted. And the reason these bad choices made him a bad person in the church is because of these three things. Two things, I'm sorry. And we need to be careful that we don't desire the things of catastrophes. Because if, Diotrephes, that we don't desire, because we will end up in our own spiritual catastrophe if we go the way of Diotrephes. So would you look at 3 John verse 9. He wanted the preeminence. He wanted position. He wanted people, when he walked in the room, to go, "The grand poobah has walked in." He wanted everyone to see that he was the man. He wanted the preeminence. But not only did he want preeminence, no. Diotrephes, who caused a bunch of catastrophes, let me tell you, he wanted power. And he wanted to take power from John. Look what the word says in verse 10. He's prating against us with malicious words. The Bible is clear. Out of the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. And out of his mouth was malicious words. Something was in his heart. Something was wrong. He didn't want John to be the elder. He wanted John's position. He wanted the power that John had. And so he spoke against John. And anybody that was for John, he put them out of the church. He wanted so much power that if people didn't go his way, he just simply put them out of the church because he wanted position and he wanted power. He was leading the church to catastrophe. And so John warns in verse 11 and says, "Beloved, don't imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." You see, when leaders are seeking position and power, and I want you to listen to this, and I pray every pastor, elder, leader listens to this. When we are seeking position and power, it will cause nothing but catastrophe. And when leaders are seeking position and power, there will always be people that follow because leaders disciple others. And we've got to be careful as leaders. Now, let me tell you something. You thought I was just talking to pastors. I'm talking to you because you're influencing someone. You're leading someone. And if your pursuit is position and power, you're leading someone else to catastrophe. And so what John says is, don't follow him. But he also wants to exhort this man. Go back with me, if you would, third John verse 9. He wants to exhort this man. Now, I know some of you are thinking, John, you go get him. John, you just deal with this man and you backslap him one side down and the other. I know, John, how you could deal with him. Punch him in the face. Come against him. I pray that you just politicize the whole deal and go from person to person to person and get everybody against him. It's not John. That's not what John says. It's not what John does. Look with me at verse 10. "Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does." This is our apostle of love, John, the son of thunder, who probably would have punched him in the face when he was a fisherman. He's now the apostle of love. He's not going to give it to him. He's going to speak the truth in love. Look what he says. "I'm going to call to mind his deeds." I want to read you something. It's John chapter 14, because John is being real Jesus-like. It's John chapter 14. I need you to hear this because we've got to learn how to handle problem people. We got to learn how to handle bad people. John, the apostle of love, he's teaching us here. And the same Greek word that he's using, he's just repeating the words of Jesus because John's pursuit was to be exactly like Jesus, not to operate in his feelings. And in John chapter 14, the Bible says here in verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance, call to your mind all things that I said to you." See, John is, he's just repeating the words of Jesus. John doesn't want to go to catastrophes and diatrophes and come against him and just attack him and I can't believe this. No, John's a Jesus people. He's been inspired by Jesus people. He hangs around Jesus people. He doesn't want to hurt him. No, the Helper. He wants to help him. John wants to remind him of the words and the ways of Jesus. Diotrephes, you're a leader in the church. And he wants to come and help him, not hurt him, and say to him, "Man, I'm on your side. I want you to know the ways and the words. I'm going to speak the truth in love, and I'm going to make it strong, and I'm publicly going to express to you that these things have got to change." But listen, I know there's bad people in the church, but bad people don't give us the excuse to have bad behavior. Bad people provide for us an opportunity because love is the most excellent way. And if we, amen, and if we respond with bad behavior, then we're no different than the bad people that are even in the church. Look, James said it best. You can get angry, but anger doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God. God is trying to use this person so that you can have compassion on them, see beyond their badness, and bring them to a place of goodness so that they might be able to follow truth. And I'm very thankful John doesn't leave us there. If you look at verse 12, he ends with a good choice. His name is Demetrius. Demetrius is a good testimony from all. And now he's comparing Demetrius to Diotrephes, and he says he's got a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. John says, listen, I know Diotrephes has set a bad example, but you got Demetrius as a leader in the church. And he gives us this good example, and he says of Demetrius, he has a testimony. And his testimony is this: he walks in truth. His testimony is this: he's living the way and the words of Jesus. Now listen to me as I Selah. Selah. Listen to me as I take a moment and reflect on what I just communicated to you. Who you hanging out with? You got some Jesus people you're with? Do you reflect more Gaius? You're hospitable, you're benevolent. You're walking in truth, you're walking in faith. You got people you're hanging out with, walking in truth and walking in faith. Or is there a little bit of position power diatrophies in you? Catastrophes. See, John is using this to warn the church, because it does lead to catastrophe. And he ends with this, and he says, I got a good guy I want you to follow. He's a great example. He's a good guy. Many things to write, but I don't wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. John the Apostle, he's such a great guy. When we think of John, we smile. Gave us revelation. What do I think of when I think about your name? Would you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you for this moment. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this moment by the power of your Spirit.